I can't wait to opt out.
Welcome to A More Philly Union, the podcast where we too are trying our best not to complain about referees, but rather talk about the latest news and other actions from the Philadelphia Union. We are your hosts. I'm Paul.
I'm C.
And I'm E.
Good evening, everyone.
I like these new the intro changes week to week.
The off-the-cuff intro changes, yeah.
Very topical.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that, but first off, housekeeping. Any updates, E, on new territories, whether they be states, commonwealths, provinces, countries, etc.?
Dominions, no, nothing new, really. Just a nice batch of downloads throughout the week. Our current count for the Help Us Up the U Challenge, as we approach 3,000 downloads, we're currently at 1975.
Wow. So that means that we'll probably break 2,000 this week.
Yeah. Which I think we get a badge from Podbean when we do that. So
that'll be awesome. Yeah. You know, here we are 15 weeks into this season, into the second season of the show, and 2,000 downloads. So thank you, everybody. Yeah. We appreciate you following, appreciate you downloading. Hope you're enjoying listening. You know, maybe sharing it with people. That's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank you for being a part of this trip that we're on.
Interesting enough, one of our here in the U.S., just all-time numbers here. No surprise, the most downloads are coming from Pennsylvania. That's to be expected. But the second most downloads, anyone want to guess which state it's coming from?
Florida.
Not that far south.
Okay.
Virginia.
Huh.
So, yeah. Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to talk over to you because I knew you knew that one. Or
I was just going to say I can't answer because I already know what you told me.
So, which is kind of cool. So,
go Virginia.
Yeah.
So, again, just a reminder, we're trying to reach 3,000 downloads this season. And once we do, we'll make a donation to the Philadelphia Union. And so you're listening to this episode or these podcasts is helping us, helping you. But feel free to visit the Philadelphia Union Foundation at their website, philadelphiaunionfoundation.org, and donate if you too would like to lend a hand in supporting all of the good works that they do. All right. So this past week, once again, only one Union game to discuss.
It was
a doozy of a game.
It was
Philadelphia, the Union going down to Atlanta. And as far as soccer goes, having a pretty high scoring tie game. But once again, the Union this season coming back to tie it up and proving that a 2-0 lead is never secure against the Union.
Yeah, man, it was. It was definitely kind of it was an exciting game. It was a bit of a slugfest. Might I say it was a little bit of a Philly of a game. It was just kind of a brawl, which was very entertaining to watch.
By brawl, you mean, I didn't think it was as physically chippy as some of the games have been, but it was a back and forth.
That's what I mean.
Game.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's what I was
like a boxing match in that regard. Yeah, yeah, it's not, sort of not, like you said last week to E when you were y'all were kung fuing quite a bit, and you interpreted it into Christie, which is surprisingly boxing. But which apparently Curtin did too, because apparently before the match he said in the best boxing matches styles make the fights.
What make the fight
styles?
Okay.
So thought that was an interesting, you know, playing style, I guess, in this case.
Probably picked it up from listening to our podcast.
That's kind of where I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Curtin, longtime listener.
Hopefully. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's the story I'm going to go with until proven otherwise.
Right.
So about this game, talking about the starting lineups. You know, Blake in net,
was Lowe and Gleznes at center back, which was a little bit of a change. Elliott was on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Harriel out right, Vogner out left, Martinez at the base of the diamond, McGlynn out left, Gajdag at the top of the diamond, Carranza up top, and then kind of the two surprises was Bedoya starting on the right side of the diamond uh-huh. in midfield, and Sullivan instead of Ora starting yeah. up top.
I think wasn't Ora he's nursing a little bit of a injury, I think.
I think so. Like he didn't
specified nature, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't make the trip out for the previous game, if I remember yeah. correctly. And I would also say that Sullivan continues probably as the Union MVP performances so far this season. So he's just not – they're not going to take him off the field anytime too soon.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
I was a little surprised that they put Bedoya out there because it is a turf field. And I remember after the Seattle game, they actually made mention of the fact that the turf was particularly hard on Bedoya's legs. So they gave him an extra day off after the Seattle game, and then they didn't start him the following game. So it was, I mean, he certainly is playing well enough to start. That wasn't a concern on my part, but it was just interesting that they would choose this game because of the field conditions. Eric, was there something you were trying to say that I talked over?
Oh, no, not at all. Not all. I was going to say Maurice Sidhu was one of the announcers, and he had mentioned talking about Quinn Sullivan and that he's been putting in quite the performance this season. So just I thought it was worthy of note that not only was our announcer a former Union player, but
mm-hmm.
Made a point to point out Quinn's performance thus far this season.
And I think Mo mentioned about a half a dozen times about the number about the Union players that he played with at some point during his career. And I think at some point one of the producers was like, "Mo, you got to stop talking about that. You got to stop saying every time you talk about a Union player, hey, and I used to play with that player." It's like we all know that you used to play for the Union. But if we're not going to have Danny Higginbotham, doing the announcing, Mo did a pretty good job. I will say,
I like him as an announcer. He does well. So
it kind of comes across natural for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think Christy, you were talking about like Mo has this kind of personality that if he wasn't a professional athlete, he probably would be like, in the movies.
I think he said as much when he was still playing. Like, what would you be doing? He was asked one of those, what would you do if you weren't playing soccer? And he's like, I'd like to be an actor on some kind of screen. So, natural fit.
He has the riz for it, that's for sure. let's see. Back about the game, the starting lineup, the other change was for Atlanta, right? There was a player, one of their attackers that was not able to play in this game.
Yes.
Was this Yakumaxis?
Yes. I was just looking for his name in an attempt to try to pronounce it. But yes, he was. It sounded like it was sort of a game time decision. I had sent you guys something earlier mm-hmm. in the week that they were not sure. But I think one of the reasons they did not play Elliott as a starter this week, from what I understood, was they anticipated. Yakimakis playing possibly, and that was why they went low in there. Up, so it sounded like it was a last minute decision to or they at least took it up to the last minute as to whether or not to play him. So,
who was a captain for us? I was it
Bedoya.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Also, did we spoil the ending yet? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So Blake was in net. First half, like you mentioned, was back and forth. It did once again feel like the Union were trying to weather the first 15 minutes to kind of find their feet in the game and keep Atlanta off the scoreboard. But then, they weren't afraid to attack, and both teams were going at each other. Martinez once again did a good job of locking down that center Almeida is going to get its chances. You know, we knew that going in, and but I think Martinez did a pretty good job limiting that in the first half.
You mean by full body checking a line of player?
Yeah. He got an early yellow card in this one, didn't he?
The 35th minute.
It came in
by my accounting. Yeah,
it came at Martinez o'clock. You know, yeah. It was. I'm sure the ref just kind of jogged over, and you know, when he lifted the card up, probably said like, "Hey, man, thanks for making my job real easy."
Martinez is. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, as so he gets a yellow card.
Yeah.
I will say, I think in this game, he was probably lucky not to get a second one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, in the bingo card that would be for Martinez, the center square is Martinez gets a yellow card. You know, that's just.
Yeah. It just happens.
Free
yeah.
space.
That's yeah. the free space.
I do wonder what, how, you know, I think it's what, 5 yellow cards? You have to sit a game, and they come off of your account every so often. I got to imagine Martinez is closing in on missing a game due to yellow card accumulation at this point.
He is, but not to deviate, you know, so again, but I still feel like he's more controlled than he used to be. I mean, it used to just be like this wild rumpus.
Yep.
Every time he was out there. And I feel like it's there's a method to the wildness now. Most of the time.
Now he's targeted anger.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's channeled. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I think kind of related to all this. If, I don't know what you guys think, and not to get too off topic here, it feels like Atlanta is becoming a natural rival. And I know, like, you know, in MLS, it's all like, who are the rivals? But it feels like every time we go down to Atlanta, it's an interesting game. And I feel like it all started with that one game back when Harris was still playing with us. And he... for being such the composed statesman on the field, he just lost it on that one game. He got so mad. I feel like ever since then, these games get a little, they get quite entertaining. And I felt like Martinez was, like you said, Paul, he was lucky only to get that one yellow card. He was really expressing his opinions on the field in one form or another.
He definitely edged into orange card territory there.
or the blue card. You would have gotten a blue card.
Well, and don't forget that Aronson twice nutmegged Guzan, too.
Oh, that's right.
So there's that.
Interesting, too. Carranza was the first person to get a yellow card in this game, which is not very typical.
No, also not typical.
Nope.
It's not a lot typical about Carranza these days. He's just doing whatever.
He's just scoring goals, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which fortunately is becoming quite typical, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's okay.
The goal scoring, though, didn't start until the second half, right? The first goal came in the second half. I'm just trying to remember from play point of view, other than it being back and forth and, you know, Martinez doing a pretty good job locking down that center. I would also just point out that the Union did give up goals, but the vast majority of them were outside the 18-yard box. So they were giving up shots, but they were from distance, giving Blake time to react to them.
Giving up
shots, not goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Union, you know, so they were doing, you know, they. I'm sure that was part of the defensive game plan. Was we know we're not going to stop them from taking shots, so let's make sure they're in disadvantageous positions before they got they take them. But yeah, and then, you know, there was a shot towards the end of the first half. Blake made the save, kind of went, you know, fell down on top of it, and I believe it was in the post game press conference at Curtin kind of confirmed that when Blake put it back into play, he seemed to re-aggravate a leg injury.
I was going to say, luckily when he walked off, I mean, he was very much under his own steam, looking good. Doesn't mean that you're fit to play a keeper, but I'm hoping that the re-aggravation isn't too severe.
Serious? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they showed the replay of him, like, stopping that shot, and he kind of did the little kind of kneel leaning forward, bending over, scoop the whole thing. And you can see, as it was a slow motion, as you can see him kind of getting up, his face made just kind of that smiling grimace of like, ah, that hurts. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, that's when the physio staff came out. And
Not a normal feeling. That shouldn't feel like that.
Yeah.
Crap. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was basically the look on his face like, ah, dang it.
I mean, another good reason that we're playing or makes it a good thing that we're playing essentially one game a week and then have a bye week coming up, because if he is just banged up for whatever reason, although I guess they're going to be participating, presumably I guess Jamaica's going to be in another tournament soon.
The Gold Cups this summer.
Gold Cup, I couldn't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But they were making reference to it with him and with Lowe. So, but regardless, hopefully it gives him some time to come back up to speed.
Yeah, heal quick, Blake. Heal quick, because while we don't mind having Semla be the sub, we all agree that it's different when Blake's in there. He's got the history with those center backs, and it's just, it continues to be more settled, more solid with Blake back there. But Semla once again makes a substitution onto the field. Was that at halftime or just before?
It was
just
in stoppage before. Of the first half. Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought. So Blake couldn't finish the half. Semla came in, he looked good back there. Going into the second half, let's just jump to this first goal here. What's his name? Daniel Rios, I think it was. Daniel. Mm-hmm. It was definitely Rios.
Definitely Rios. That's as much as I got. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got 13 goals so far as a professional, and 5 of them now are against the Union. 4 of them were when he was playing for Charlotte last year, I believe it was, in a game in Charlotte.
That is a ridiculous statistic. Is that true? Oh my God.
Yeah. but let's talk about this goal. So first off, the cross into the box was really well done. Rios did a good job getting distance, getting some separation between him and Glasnes so that Rios could play the ball with his head. And then he beat Semla cleanly. So two good offensive performances from Atlanta. Obviously there's a little bit of blame on the defensive breakdown that Lesnes got beat like that, and that Semla didn't make the play for the ball or stop the shot. But sometimes, the other team just makes good plays.
Sure.
A bit of both on this one, in my opinion. I don't know. What did you guys think of this goal?
I agree with you, Paul. I think, sometimes a team scores because they just made a really good score. Or they made a really good goal. Glesnes felt like just a fraction of a step behind, or this guy just got just behind him.
I kind of felt like that he got bodied off. Rios physically got some separation. Whether you want to call it a push or not, yes, it was a push.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an illegal push. It was just
a regular
body work that they do.
Yeah, this guy was able to put just enough uncharacteristic amount of daylight between himself and Glesnes. Normally I feel like Glesnes can really lock down an attacker. It wasn't enough on this goal. And so kudos to Rios. Also, Rios really seemed to be sniffing around for a goal. Like watching him play, the Atlanta was, I had a note here, they were really cutting through our defense. And so it really felt like, the law averages, they're going to get through at some point. And that did happen in the 55th minute.
Is that when it was, the 55th?
Yeah. 55th minute. Yeah.
Unfortunate that it happened. Just good play, and it was tough to see it. The Union had been doing so well up until then, and then things were going to get a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Well, and apparently that's sort of their MO. You know, once they score, the momentum really picks up for them, which I mean, it's true of so many teams, but I guess this season that's been a particularly Atlanta trait from what I was seeing. So not hugely surprising.
Yeah. And so this second goal, it was Martinez-esque.
Yeah.
With the fact that it was a ball that was partially cleared by the Union, I don't know, 30 yards outside the box. And Wiley from Atlanta, who is a defender, just unloads with, I don't know, was that his left foot? It kind of seemed like it was off his left foot. And just from like 30 yards out, buries it in the left side of, you know, or the right side of Semla's net. You know, he made a play for it, but it was fast. It was a laser.
Yeah,
it really was. And it was, well, I was calling him Atlanta's Harriel because that's what he looked like to me. But,
absolutely.
But, yeah. So Men in Blazers would have at one time called that a wonder strike because that definitely did just bang out of nowhere right into the back of the net.
Yeah, and that really, for at least for me watching, it was deflating. It was like, because at this point, I mean, it's typical, right? Union does not worry about playing possession, but Atlanta was really doing a lot with the possession that they had. And I really felt like it was, you know, it was like the scene from Rocky where, you know, Rocky's just taking a beating and, Mick wasn't the manager anymore. It was it Apollo? He's like, he's getting killed out there. And Paul's like, no, he's just getting angry, you know? so maybe that's what was going on. I don't know. But it really felt like Atlanta had us kind of on the ropes a bit. Like,
yeah, for a while, they started coming apart. Our guys started coming apart. I felt like they just, you know, just sort of that flailing, chasing after the other players moment till they regrouped. But
we would get the spark.
So Atlanta scored in the 55th, and then they scored their second in the 63rd, and then we made our sub. And surprisingly, it was to pull Martinez, and put Aura on. So we shifted Bedoya back to the base of the diamond. We put Sullivan shifted to the right side of the midfield diamond, and then Aura was up top with Carranza. And I don't know if it was Bedoya's steadying influence or whatever, but after that it felt like the Union decided, oh yeah, we're supposed to be here to play soccer.
Yeah.
And then 8 minutes later, Aura would go ahead and prove the wisdom of Curtin's choice to make the substitution. This was an unfortunate back pass from on Atlanta out into space.
Ooh, was it?
Yeah. And it was pretty much halfway. It was, there was about 40 yards separating Aura from Guzan, and it was about halfway between the two of them. And in a foot race, I'm going to put my money on Aura over Guzan every time. Mm-hmm. And at first, it looked like Guzan was going to challenge for the ball. Then he quickly realized, no, there's no way I'm going to beat Aura to that ball. And started backpedaling, which just left him in no man's land. So Aura takes a couple of touches, gets just inside the box, and then uncorks a left-footed shot before the Atlanta defender can close him down and beats Guzan for the first Union goal. I mean, it was clean. It was just a striker's poaching a back pass. And was that Wiley? I want to say it was Wiley who made that pass. So despite the fact that he made, I think it was him, but somebody screwed up and gave away a ball in an unfortunate position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it was, but it was, in review, poorly done. But I'd like to attribute some of this too. I mean, besides just the good skills displayed, there did seem to be a bit of a psyops campaign going on against Guzan, which Eric noticed. Do you remember this, E? When they had it was either a corner kick or a throw in, and you rewound it to show me what they were doing to Guzan.
Oh, yes. So it was actually, it was right before, I think it was right before the...
It was around the 66th minute because I wrote it down.
Okay, so it was just before...
So it was a few minutes before this, before the goal.
Yeah, but it was a corner kick. And I think Harriel was, I think Harriel was going to take it or Wagner or whatever. But it was both Gleznes and Lowe. They're, you know, everyone's jostling in for the corner. And I noticed Gleznes first. They're kind of like, you know, Gleznes is standing next to Guzan watching the corner. But you see him just reach over this left hand and starts like pinch grabbing on Guzan's jersey. Like not like full a fist of jersey, just like pinching it like between his finger and his thumb. And he just keeps doing it. Like he's almost like trying to like, you know, mess with a little kid. And Guzan's doing like the hands up and you're like, yo, knock it off, knock it off. And he's yelling to the ref. And then Lowe started doing it. I'm like, this is fantastic. It's like, almost like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm just pinching your jersey. Yeah, it was, yeah.
So, That was just interesting. We hadn't really seen that before, but yeah, and the cards started coming thick and fast after this, I thought.
Well, real quick though,
yeah,
just looking at the report here for the game, mm-hmm. Sullivan was awarded the assist for that goal that Aurora got. So was that just pure like defensive or offensive pressure on that defender when he tried passing the ball back to the keeper, and that's what resulted, you know, in, you know, or getting the, you know, basically picking that shot off.
No idea.
But yeah, Quinn was Sullivan was awarded the assist.
Don't know, but hey, good for him. And it was good to see Aurora get on the score sheet again.
You
know, he's been quietly having a pretty decent season, the start of the season, and hopefully he'll continue to do well and hope maybe even heat up in the second half of the season, get some more goals.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the Union showing that an earlier 2-0 deficit is not a guaranteed win for the opponent, and Aurora scoring the first goal, definitely bringing some life back to the game. And it wasn't a corner kick, but 4 minutes later, the Union had a deep throw in that apparently a lot of Atlanta fans are complaining about. Harriel taking this throw in and stepping on the line and tossing it into the box. So I actually went and looked up the actual rules to read it, and it just has to be a part of the foot has to be on or behind the line of both feet touching the ground behind or on the line as the ball is released, which he is doing. Yeah. Yes, his foot is clearly on the line, but it's not, you know, and it's not behind the line. But yeah, so he makes his throw in. It gets partially defended out to the top of the box and then Kai Wagner, I believe with his right foot, buries it in like the upper 90 past the keeper.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful shot from Wagner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had noticed when they, with that throw in, I did say to E, like, hold on. And you, he said, I believe it has to be all of the foot over the line, over all of the line to be a problem. So, that was an amazing goal. I think we had to watch it a few times until it got through my head. Mm-hmm. It was another Chris Nolan goal for me.
Like if Wiley's goal hadn't come earlier in this game, that would have been the goal of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Wagner's goal was like a mini Gleznes goal. Like Gleznes would have done like from twice that distance out. But you know,
from the fishing boat in Norway. Yeah.
that was a really pretty finish off the volley like that. And at that point, then, Atlanta thought they were cruising to a win, and the Union quickly in 4 minutes turn it around.
Yeah.
And,
it got quieter.
It did.
It got a lot quieter. I mean, it wasn't a pin drop, but it got a lot quieter in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what was it, 3 minutes after that second goal, the Union get a play into the box. Sullivan's on the ball, finds Ora in the middle, and Ora puts the ball in the back of the net. And before the celebration can really kick off to complete the comeback victory, it's waved for offside.
The look on Ora's face just summed up his season so far. He went from jubilant to WTF really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, I just, so much wrong with that. But
and there's, I know we're going to talk even more later, but there is a part of me that's still trying not to complain about refereeing and this.
I think complaining about refereeing here versus, you know, standing in the stands and shouting derogatory comments is two different things.
I'll just go back to Curtin's post game press conference comments about how can we not at this point have a camera system that tracks the ball and is always knows where the offsides line is and can give the VAR referee instant visibility to what's going on, so we can don't have to rely on these angle shots. I mean, the sideline ref is in line. She's, you know, they've got experience. They know what they're doing. They make the call, but I'm sorry, it does not look offside.
Yeah,
he does not. There's no part of him that can play a ball that's in an offside position in that, from what I can see. I'm wrong because that's what it was called, and we got to play the game as it was called. But this one was frustrating.
Sounded like Jim was ready to buy the cameras himself.
Well, he quoted an $8 cost. I'm not sure that that's totally accurate, but I mean,
no, I know.
It's gonna run down to Radio Shack and get a couple.
Radio Shack.
Yeah, I just don't know how they don't have a system that just tracks back and forth. And wherever the ball is, it just keeps, you know, right down across the field with the ball. It would solve so much trouble. And you could just mount it on the building, you know, on the stadium around it, and put a pretty decent zoom on it and see the length of the width of the field. It's asinine at this point. If you're going to have VAR, give them the tools to do it right.
It is a weird, that's the thing. I mean, because VAR was such a struggle, and I mean, it's kind of a FIFA thing, because I know that FIFA's thing is they want the rules to be rules and the way the game is played to be the same from the playground all the way up to the highest level of competition. Mm-hmm. And so the idea,
so you're saying that I could actually buy off the referees in the playground?
Probably just as easily, maybe more.
Maybe cost less.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I mean, that's what they say. Now, we all know FIFA, right? FIFA has, it would talk about asterisks. I mean, they have the biggest.
Yeah, right.
It practically covers their logo. But I mean, it's
the I in FIFA is an asterisk.
Yeah, pretty much.
A stands for asterisk.
Mm-hmm. But that's the rubric they use. So, I mean, and with VAR being such a struggle to get that in there, I guess I'm not surprised that there's not a formal system added to the game that doesn't, but we have cameras everywhere. It just seems like somebody should have something, you know, some that you could see and I don't know.
And I just come back to, you know, what is the purpose of that offside call? Like,
yeah,
I still feel like if it's not at least clearly a body width offside, then it's not offside. Like, you know, they're in the 6-yard box practically. It's like there's no advantage to being downfield. It's not like your defenders are at midfield and your striker, you know, the attacking strikers at the top of the 18-yard box playing cherry picker. That's not the situation here. This is really just
this is shades of the handball argument, right? It's the same thing. It's in a lot of ways. I mean, because is it a handball if it just completely just by physics bounced off somebody's hand and they just simply couldn't get out of the way versus, you know, smacking it away or, you know, somehow reflexively trying to influence the play.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it's the same argument we've had, but I mean, yeah, it seemed like a pointless call. For sure. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way.
And I feel like if it had been called a goal and left stand, it would probably not have been overturned.
Because, I mean, with the goal, right, it would have gone to review. And then maybe. It would have, yeah.
Maybe.
Because I thought they always VAR all goals to make sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, they always do a review. Then whether or not it goes to a video, you know, correct. Calling the referee over or
That's
not.
That's what I meant. That's right. What I meant. They would have but reviewed
privately,
it.
Privately, yeah. At least.
Yeah, but I don't know that he would have reversed it if he had let the goal
stand. I agree. I feel like this, with the offside rule, I feel like referees need to have their own Hippocratic oath. You know, first thing is do no harm. And it's like you said, Paul, you only call it if you know it's a foul or there's a violation or something. And it's kind of like, if it's not obvious, right, you don't call it, right? Only call it when you know something wrong was done.
Yep.
I mean, in some respects, I can forgive him this because, you know, 10 years ago before video review was anything, it's like, all right, look, that's the best vantage point they had on the field. They made the call. That's the, you know, that's the double-edged sword when plays are that close, the call could go either way. Okay, we learned to live with that, and I can live with that. But for me, and I don't want to jump ahead too far, but it's the how the game ended. I feel like that.
Yeah,
is
I think
the
let's
bigger,
jump ahead to that. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead. Go ahead, E.
I think that's the bigger bad call. You know, the offside call, I think there's room for argument. When you pull in technology, I think that argument becomes less viable, but at least an argument can be made. But the dying seconds of this game, the mm-hmm. Union are on the attack. Mm-hmm. They are pressing it. Was it Harrell who ran the ball up the right wing?
Yeah.
Literally crosses the ball. It lands right at Gosdog's feet, right, literally like right outside the box. He's winding up to take the shot. Whistle blows. Final whistle blows.
Yep.
And again, I am not a ref, but that I've never seen that before. Like, even if the extra time has elapsed, but the whoever has the ball, they are in the process of making an attack. It's like the honor system. You let them play it out. If the attack gets stopped, great. The yep. kick down the field, the whistle blows.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened. The ref literally blew the whistle right at the moment we're getting ready to take our shot.
Yeah, and there were Union players in the box. Like you said, Gajdag was at the right top of the right side of the 18-yard box, was lining up to do something with it, whether it was shoot it or pass it.
Right.
We'll never know. And then, you know, obviously the Union are frustrated. And Ali, I don't know exactly what he said, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, are you effing kidding me? Might have been said as he ran over to yell to the yell at the ref. But then it seemed like he kind of got control of himself, and they talked it over with the ref. But then the ref gave Ali a yellow card.
Yeah, a post game yellow card.
Why? Why?
According to Jim, he got one too when he was out there trying to corral everybody off the field. I which we didn't see, and I didn't see recorded anywhere. I don't know if you guys did, but he just said that so many people were on yellow, he just wanted to get everybody off the field.
he wanted to get one too.
Yeah, but well, he said it didn't matter if he got one.
Yeah,
as he felt like it didn't matter if he got one as long as no players got a second one. But yeah, so that was just the refereeing really fell apart at the end, I think.
Yeah. And I find this discussion kind of tough to do because like this was Nate's first weekend actually refereeing a travel soccer game. And I do try not to get on the refs for making the calls that they make, but
yeah.
Oh, this was rough. This is tough. I mean, especially since they were against the Union, but I think even if they had done this against the Atlanta, I would probably still be feeling a little questionable about the performance of the ref.
It's well, kind of
it Jim said like, in the presser that he thought that that the ref probably thought we were just going to try to run out the ball, but then again he even said, but then our number 10 had the ball at his feet, so I'm not sure how he could think that. So I'm that's not a direct quote, it's a bit of a paraphrase, but yeah. So
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, that's, yeah, that's my point, right? Because the collective team body language to me didn't say we were going to try to run out the clock.
No.
I mean, we bring the ball down the side, hustling, defenders marking up. I think it was Harriel. Again, he crosses it to the middle. Gosdog is right there, and he's turning to face the goal. And it's kind of like watching, I'm trying to think of a good example, like an analogy, but it's like watching like a band play a song and they just cut out like the last verse and ended it. You're like, wait, what? They just left out a whole part there. That doesn't, you know, it's like a badly edited TV version of some movie. You're like, wait, why did they just cut that part out? It just felt very...
It was clear a play was underway. It wasn't like everybody was in the middle jockeying for the ball. The middle of the field, I should say.
So, here's the quote from the press conference. Curtin, I think they thought we were going to the corner to run the clock out. But then a ball gets cut back, and now our number 10 is at the top of the box with a couple of options to play. And it's a mistake where the whistle should not be blown in that instance. I think he realizes that. At the end there, when everyone surrounds the referee, I know guys are on yellow cards, so I'm just trying to get everybody out of there. Yeah. I got one myself just for the situation, but I pulled everyone so we don't lose anybody because they're a lot more important than I am.
Yeah. That is a player's coach right there.
Man. Tough. I mean, at the end, I'm happy that the Union ended up getting a point. If you had gone into the game and said, hey, would you settle for a Union draw? I probably would have taken it. But to be that close to turning a 2-0 deficit into a 3-2 victory, it's a little sour.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had asked me at the 64th minute, would you be happy with a 2-0 draw? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, in 30 minutes, opinions definitely change.
Yeah. But, you know, coming out of this game, Kai Wagner did get selected as the, to the MLS team of the match day, which I believe puts the Union at 4 straight weeks of having at least one player on the team of the match day.
Nice.
Which is an impressive run. And now they have a bye week. They have a whole week off until they face Real Salt Lake a week from Saturday. So plenty of time hopefully for Blake to heal up and for the rest of them, or maybe to go get a little vacation, a little mini trip in somewhere, get some downtime and, you know, let their legs rest from an active first part of the season. Cause we are now, the Union have they've played 7 games because the Seattle game got postponed. So that means that they are about a fifth of the way through the season already.
Wow. That far already.
Yeah.
It still feels like the season just started.
Yep. Well, it's only April. Started in February.
Yeah. Time is funny like that. Just keeps going forward.
Not a whole lot of Union news this week. They did have a post about, making some adjustments to Subaru Park to be classified as a sensory inclusive stadium, which I thought was pretty cool. Either of you have the details on this?
Yeah, I do. So you can register to get a sensor. Hold on, let me get this correct.
To be
Culture
clear,
City is, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, just this is about, in particular, the people that are neurodiverse that can be overly impacted by loud situations and active environments.
So they've partnered with a group called Culture City, and they'll be you'd be able to get what they're calling sensory bags equipped with noise canceling headphones, fidget tools, verbal cue cards, and a special lanyard to indicate that you are part of this program. The staff is trained to help folks with this particular propensity to be overwhelmed in such situations. There will also be you can sit anywhere in the stadium and use the equipment in these bags, but then they will also have 4 seats designated as Fang's Friends seats, which will be sort of a a bit of a quiet zone, a special area for people who might feel overwhelmed again by the noise and the crowds and that kind of thing. So as they say in the release, sensory sensitivities or challenges with sensory regulation are often experienced by individuals with autism, dementia, PTSD, and other similar conditions. So sure, there's a myriad of other things as well, but it's a very forward thinking of them to do this.
Yeah. So good on the union for taking that step. It's hope it, you know, helps bring some other fans into the stadium that might otherwise feel a little daunted about doing so, and you know, give them a chance to enjoy an outing like that. It's a great atmosphere. Let's see, that, you know, there, other than that, I mean, Philadelphia Union 2 trounced Atlanta United number 2. Christie's favorite Drexel Dragon scored a brace, including the first goal, which turned out to be the game winner in a 5-0 thumping.
Wow.
Yeah. Other than that, though, there's some call ups for the more junior players, you know, being called up for the U16 U.S. national team and such. Which is, hey, that's great for them. We don't usually cover that sort of stuff here. So it's been a relatively quiet week. You know, we're gonna have to keep an eye out, see if Blake's healed up, and same with Aura, get back to full time starting. But up until other than that, we're just kind of waiting for the Real Salt Lake game a week from Saturday, back here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, actually, too, you know, after that 2-0 draw, the Union still are now the only team that is undefeated this season.
That's correct.
We've maintained that undefeated status, which is good.
So, and the Union are currently third in the East?
We're third in the East. Yeah, we're behind Red Bulls and then Miami.
Yeah, so hopefully the Union will continue with their high points per game average. Now, they will have Salt Lake the 27th, and they will have Seattle on the 30th before their follow. So this will be while they have a bye week this week, they're going to come back with three games that following week. So it'll be busy.
They're like old days when we were multiple competitions.
Well, and what are we, like 100 days out from the Leagues Cup?
100 days.
Well, what's the quote? Speaking of Leagues Cup, real quick, what was the quote of the week? So I guess what's the setup? So we know Leagues Cup's coming up in 100 days, roughly. The league is going to go on hiatus while Leagues Cup plays out. And then, so before we record it, somebody, Christy, I think
hang on, Christy's looking it up.
I'm trying to find it. It was a comment on the Union's post about, hey, we're 100 days out from the League's Cup, which went up earlier today as we record. And the quote of the week from Hey Kristen Marie on Instagram was, I can't wait to opt out.
It's still funny.
That is absolute gold. That is absolute gold. I definitely think there's some SAG writers involved with that one. That was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that indicates at all, why, I won't speak for you guys, but how I'm feeling about it.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that before, so I won't start.
But hey, at least I believe Leagues Cup this year is right around the time that the Olympics will be going on. So
There's a lot of soccer this summer between the Olympics and the Euros.
Yeah, that's true too.
So, which is hard to believe that it's Euros again already. But I suppose that was probably actually only 3 years ago because they was probably postponed a year, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, still.
Well, I'm going to already start couching my statements 100 days out. And because I remember last year when Leagues Cup started, I was like, oh, crying out loud, this is just ridiculous. And I think about halfway through when we were winning, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of all for this Leagues Cup.
We all jumped on board when they played LAFC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the matchups, right? And that's probably the one that took us out. But yeah.
Yeah. But I think to echo the sentiment of some of those other comments too on that post was, I will gladly, I will gladly have the Union like just bow out after the first game if that means we just go on to win MLS Cup.
100%.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like if we win Leagues Cup and, you know, we get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs, that won't be cool. I mean, honestly, if we win League's Cup and then we don't win MLS Cup, I'd be like, that's a disappointment.
I mean, I almost hate to do this, but, you know.
Don't do it.
I'll just stop.
No, go ahead.
No, I just definitely don't want the Union to crash out of playoff contention altogether like the Flyers did this year. That was tough. The Flyers were in playoff position for most of the season and then, you know, just got surpassed here towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Able to get back in. Tough one for the Flyers, although nobody going into the season really expected them to do anything this year. So on the whole, it was a lot more entertaining season from the Flyers than expected. But yes, let's hope the Union continue to play well. Certainly would love to see them maintain this undefeated streak for quite a while. And I certainly think they can against both Real Salt Lake and Seattle. You know, they're both winnable games for them. Not just survivable games, but winnable games, especially playing at home.
Here's a little trivia question, maybe a trivia homework assignment. Has any MLS team gone undefeated in their season? So I would say if you, listener, know this answer, feel free to drop us an email, pod@amorphillyunion.com. But I don't know this answer, if you guys know it.
Since the beginning of MLS?
Since the beginning. Has any team gone undefeated? I'm going to wager. Ooh, do I really want to guess if anyone has even done it, let alone who has done it? I don't know.
Well, get in our comments. You can find us on our website, morephillyunion.com. You can, as Eric said, you can hit us up with an email, pod@amorephillyunion.com. Feel free to find us on X or Twitter @amorephillyu, Instagram, YouTube, and Threads. We are amorephillyunion. So if you have an opinion about whether or not a team has ever gone without a loss for the entire length of the MLS season, you know, let us know. It's probably a dive down that Wikipedia hole or hit up Google or ChatGPT or whatever you want to do to find it out. But if you know offhand, you're more impressed. So let us know what you think. If you would like, you can find our very eclectic Spotify playlist under A More Philly Union. That is the playlist. And I imagine our podcasts are available through Spotify at this point as well.
Yes, they are.
And you can get our podcast wherever you get yours. What used to be Google Podcast, but is now YouTube Music. You can find us on Apple, Amazon, TuneIn, etc. So thanks everyone for tuning in for another episode of A More Philly Union. We're your hosts. I'm Paul.
I'm C.
And I'm E.
Go Union!
Blow the whistle. I was debating whether I have to work that in there. Paul, I'm C, and I'm whistle.
Should have done it while I was going go. You could go whistle.
I was tempted to do that. That's why I wasn't actually jumping in when we started the Go Union.